This morning I'm going to focus our hearts on a nation, the United States of America. You and I, all we have to do is look at a television set, pay attention to what is going on within the world around us, in the community and all surrounding us. Although I will admit, to my knowledge, it is not as bad in our community as it is in others. But I just don't know, because I haven't been in any others for a while. When you and I look at the Word of God and we witness His truth, here's what you'll see. Christian America on the brink of destruction. America, the greatest nation that has ever come together. And we're going to learn some truths about what goes on with a nation like ours. For we do have history. We did witness it through the Holy Word of God and through basic human history. A nation that was called God's nation, God's very own people, the nation of Israel, a Jewish nation. God put together, as every church should, allow God to lead each individual to that particular worship center. God looked out over the land, and there was a group of people no one wanted around them. Vagabonds. They were individuals that no other nation wanted. And God said, I will choose you, the lowest of all people in this time, and I will make of you a great nation. So I choose you, and I choose you for my very own. That nation was so great, had so much power from the hand of God, that when they'd walk in the battle, they didn't have to do anything because God took care of it Himself. We have the history of the great sin of that day and of that nation. And it seems as though the greatest nation ever known today, the United States of America, is racing towards the same collapse and the same destruction. And they could only do it because a nation who turns against God is a nation that will fall. Psalm 32, verse 33, verse 12. Listen to King David. Listen to the word of God spoken through him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance.
There's been many times in history, in human recorded warnings throughout the history, which spoke to the threats of the imminent destruction of individuals, cultures, and nations, none of which has it come to pass. But there is a record book which records history and prophecy with absolute accuracy. This record book contains godly warnings of the imminent pending destruction of individuals, cultures, and nations. These records are recorded in the best-selling book written by the command of God and known throughout the world as the Holy Bible. It is in the context of God's Holy Bible that we find His urgent warnings for Christian America. But far too often, we heed God's warnings the same way we do human warnings, as empty words without foundation. Yet, we should understand an important fact concerning God's pronouncements. When God speaks of imminent destruction, it shall come to pass.
Isaiah 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, listen to it, the Lord of hosts has sworn. set out a decree. Our Creator has said, this is what will happen. Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand.
Jesus' disciples had the same problem that many Christians in America seem to have today. They neglected their ability to listen and understand Jesus' words. And they forgot a great fact. What Jesus says will be. Listen to an interesting incident affecting Jesus and his disciples.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Luke 8, verses 22 through 24. Now it happened on a certain day that he, this is Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. When Jesus says to you or me, go to the other side, you can count on getting there. When Jesus says, get in a boat, go to the other side, you can count on getting there. Amen. But folks, you got to get in a boat. You got to get in the boat with Jesus. When he says, get in, get in. When he says, you're going across, you're going across. Yet there's always storms of life that are going to hit each and every one of us. Is it too often or so often that you and I, in going through these horrible storms of life, have forgotten that we're in God's boat with his beloved son, Jesus? Or did we get in the right boat? Are we in the boat of the world? Or are we in the boat that God built? The boat of safety. One that cannot be sunk. The power of the most living God says, go to the other side. You know, the disciples were so upset. Once again, you know why? Jesus was catching a nap going across. Now, do you really believe that any one of us is going to lay down and take a nap when we know that a raging storm is coming up on us, unless we are for certain that God's in control? Jesus, as 100% human, was not upset. He was not excited because he had spoken, go to the other side. And he knew that he would come on the other side. So the power of the love of God, that power that drives us today, that power that has driven the United States of America so strongly to defend freedom throughout the world. God did not tell us to get in that boat and let it sink. God did not tell us to sink it ourselves. God said, go to the other side. Take my message. Preach it throughout all the world. And those who believe will be saved. Go throughout the world. And we won't even walk across a street. God looks at the great nation of Israel and he said to them, you have sinned a mighty sin. You will find out we've are sinning that same sin today. That's why I want you to pay attention to history. Oh, not those who are attempting to change it by just simply rewriting it. The words in a book that have been written against the truth is not history. It's a fiction. And many today are living in a fictitious world with a fictitious God. A God that our Lord and Savior does not recognize. A God known as Satan, evil, pride, individuals taking care of self and forgetting everyone else. Just doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Boys, get in the boat and get to the other side. Count on it. Then Jesus, when they woke him, he looked out and the prevailing wind was about to sink the boat. And Jesus, as he looked at that wind, I wonder, did he look ahead and see the evil in the United States of America that was to come and all other nations? Was he going to teach all throughout existence from that point to all the nations that would ever exist a lesson that we should pay close attention to? The prevailing wind of our day is the doctrine of societies, not the doctrine of God. Political correctness. Don't say anything to offend. And yet Jesus was called an offender. One who would go into a temple and, could you believe it, he just got so out of himself, so they said, but he wasn't, that he cleared them all out, made a whip, kicked over their tables. And so many in this day and age would say, that's just not very Christian, Jesus. But listen, my friends, we're on the verge of having our nation kicked over because the prevailing wind today, a nation seems not to be calling on the Lord, or they're in the wrong boat. The wind of destruction has already hit us. 50 plus million upon millions of the unborn are slaughtered for convenience. God's children. Well, if they're God's children, why doesn't he protect them? He did. He took them with him. But woe be unto the one who orchestrated that destruction. Woe be it unto the family that is endorsing it. For my friends, the prevailing wind of the day, Jesus looked at and he said, that's enough. And once again, when God says that's enough, that's enough. But you know, God has always given us freedom. Freedom of choice since the beginning. He did not make anybody eat of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. It was a free choice. We've always had the freedom under God, but not under man. Always had the freedom to choose. And yet we stand back and we watch those freedoms be taken away a little at a time on a daily basis. By those who say, we love America so much. If you love America so much, understand something. God gave America the freedom that we have today. And by the grace of God, America will stand up. The Christians will stand up to be bold enough and say, I'm telling God on you. You think that don't work? You never, ever, world, listen well, want God's children to bring to his attention how they're being mistreated. So then why aren't things straightening out? I don't know. Why aren't we asking God to straighten it out? You know, I've given God every mess in my life ever since I can remember. You know why? Because I cannot change the messes I have made. I can't go back in time and say, oh, I wished I hadn't done it. No, I say that now. I wished I'd handled it a different way. But I can't go back and change it. So what do I do? I said, Lord, here, it's in my mess. I accept responsibility for my mess, Lord. But I'm a child of God. When a child comes to you and that child says, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Dad, I really messed up. What do you say? Oh, get out and never come back? No. A real parent says, honey, I love you. Come on in. Don't we understand that's the focus you and I must have on our life? Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The prevailing wind of our time right now, fear of ISIS, fear of terrorists. The greatest terrorist that's ever been known started in the Garden of Eden. And it is that terrorist that is filling the hearts of those who are active under his leadership today. If your God is Satan, follow your God. But as for me and my house, I will follow the Lord. Should that not be the prayer? Amen. I know who gave us this nation, and you do too. It wasn't by the might of our armies. It was by the gift of Almighty God. And he said, you are my people. When you said yes to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though you'll turn your back on me, I'll be there. See, Jesus hasn't left. Jesus is still with his church. He's still in the heart of every believer. And Jesus still says the same thing, issuing the same command. Take up your cross and follow me. Folks, you've never followed a warrior until you've followed Christ. Jesus says, I'm in control. It doesn't matter what the armies of the world say. It matters what God says. I have never heard an ISIL leader ever speak to the wind and cease, or to have the power, as they said, we'll go to the other side. Well, they're here while we were sleeping in all 50 states. According to our government, who obviously allowed it to happen. And we see Americans today faced with combat in our own streets. Can't go to grandma's house and just walk in. Screen doors open. Nothing locked. Crawl in the window as a young kid and crawl out of it if I wanted to. No. Now we're living in the greatest nation ever known, and we have to have cameras at every door of a church. We have to have security in every section of a church. God's house. What happened? America sinned. What happened to the Jewish nation? They sinned. God said, I want you to take my message to the world. No, we're not going to do it. Your message, God, is only for we, us, the Jewish nation. So we will not take it. And God said, fine, I'll choose another nation. I'll choose another people to follow me. And did you notice, folks, that the Jewish nation ceased to exist as a nation? Huh? Why? They would not listen to the warnings and the commands of their Creator. And when you back away from the one who is leading you in your life, then you're going to fall, and you are going to experience the same fate as all other nations throughout history has ever felt and experienced: the absence of the power of God. The Lord is in each Christian, as you know. His Spirit directs us. But my friends, you can't go to the other side unless God says go. And when that prevailing wind of the times come up and you get all afraid, wake yourself up, because Jesus is already awake. Amen. And Jesus says, pay attention to me. Listen well to this, please. When a nation refuses to recognize God's authority or to serve the Lord with gladness, then that nation will fall. God's warnings to his first nation, listen, also apply to all other nations, America included. How horrible for a nation that has it all. Everybody in the world that wants to really have a change, they want to come to America any way they can. They had rather be a prisoner in America than free in their own country. What makes the difference? Christ Jesus. He said, for whosoever will, let him come. Here's the fear you should have. When God's people let down their guard to the point that we, God's people, decide to run to another nation. Doesn't sound right there, does it? Let me tell you something. God is still in control. And I want to read to you from God's word the sin, and then I'm going to tell you the punishment through God's word for this sin. I want you to see whether or not America, you see it here, and then the remedy has always been the same. Why are people giving up? Folks, we're the ones that's been battling the human part. Don't give up. When you're in the boat with Jesus, don't give up for the one who said to go throughout the world and preach my gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, not Buddha, not Mohammed, not any other god or prophet, but in the name of Jesus Christ, and he alone can there ever be peace. Here's the sin. Isaiah 1:4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, injustice, debauchery. Debauchery is every type of sexual act and every evil act that can be imagined. Injustice. Man, that little word iniquity sure has some power, doesn't it? Well, let me put the sentence together again. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood, a group, families, grouping together of evildoers. Anybody notice that? Of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Mean they choose the path of the world. They're going back. I want to follow you, Jesus, but you know, this is a little much. What's a little much? What's a little much? Folks, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, the greatest blood transfusion I've ever had. It's the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God. And God had promised his Son something. Son, not one drop of your blood will ever be destroyed. I know where it went now. In his church and to his people. You and I, Christians, the greatest blood transfusion from the greatest physician. I always want to go back to the builder of anything to get it corrected if something's wrong. When God put us together, his plan was from before time began that his son would come because he saw how much he'd love us. And my son will die for you. But your sin is you've turned away backward. Yeah. You cannot put one foot on the bridge it crosses over and leave the other foot in the world and not realize that the bridge is collapsing. The time will come, God says, when I will no longer strive with man. Here's the punishment, great nation. Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 through 51. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. 9/11 was pretty fast. A nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. That's a punishment for Isaiah 1:4. That's a punishment. Are we not witnessing the slowly increase of the punishment against America today? Is America still a Christian nation? Or is America a nation with a few Christians? Every nation that has ever existed or ever will exist, who turns their back on the living God who made them that great nation, that nation will fall. But I would not leave you there. For every action, there has to be an equal and opposite reaction. But for every action, there has to be a remedy. Here it is. But that sounds too simple. Must not be very simple or we'd have been doing it. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Where's Jesus? Well, he's asleep in the boat. Go to him. Look him in the eye. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And will heal their nation. Folks, we are living in a time when even Christians refuse to get on their knees and humble themselves before a living God. And we're saying everything is okay. It's not okay. The watchmen of God are warning throughout this nation and all of us, turn back. before it's too late. Turn back. We do not want God to turn his head on us. So why do we turn our back on him? Why? We just don't want to rock the boat. No, not really. We just refuse to get in the right boat. And until we choose wisely as God leads us, you will continue to see the destruction. There'll be no more. After the destruction of America, you won't see another nation where the kids get excited over video games and about anything they want, they have. Where's that? That's the United States of America. That's the land of the free because it's the home of the brave. But the American soldier, the American warrior, cannot battle a war if they're not led into battle by a general, by someone who knows the truth. And folks, anyone who says that God is not real and Jesus is not his son does not know the truth, and they cannot get set free until they do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. And once again, Heavenly Father, we apologize. We apologize, Lord, for the sin of our own nation. We lift to you now, Father. Each heart. Sure, we have a burden, Father, but our burden is not as strong as yours. For you have taken the guilt of all who have ever existed, who have ever come to your Son. You've always taken away the guilt and given to us the best. Thank you for those days, Father. Now I ask in the name of Jesus that you will once again empower your people, unite your church, your bride, that we might stand strong and we may proclaim your word and no one else's. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.